Satan, he's a bully. You know, and what do the bullies do? They hone in on your weaknesses, your shortcomings, and they just pick at that. That's what the devil does to us. But Jesus, he's like a mentor with his Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit will guide us and offer correction. And that's more of a mentoring, and that's how Christ is with us. So we acknowledge that we did the sin, we repent, and we move on. We don't dwell in that. Okay? This, you know, perseverance is the main topic of this morning's lesson, and it kind of ties into what Pastor's been talking about for the last month. But, you know, to be truly victorious in our walk, we've got to move past just accepting that Christ forgave our sins. We're part of an army, part of a fighting force spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, we fight that spiritual warfare. And so with any army, you have to persevere and move forward, even if there's shortcomings. You know, an army may be attacked and they may lose a battle, but they regroup and they learn from what the enemy put to them, and they redirect the attack and move forward. If, you know, if an army just sits and is only in defense mode, they're going to get overrun. Eventually, you've got to go on the attack. And to go on the attack, you've got to train. You've got to find out what the mission is, what the tools are that you need to use, and then go on that attack. But using your weapons of defense also to repel the enemy's attacks. Okay? Let's go to that first slide, brother. Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So all these attacks that the devil might put to us, it's for growth. The Lord allows a portion of that hedge of protection to be removed so that we can face a little bit of a challenge, and then from that challenge overcome it and grow. A moving, you know, a pool of water that's there. Okay, and we're to be, you know, the Holy Spirit is that's water for the soul. I forget the phrase. I apologize, guys, but it's a quenching thing for our spirit. But a pool of water that just sits becomes stagnant, and then it's dead. So a free flowing body of water brings life. Okay, so we need to constantly be moving towards the goal, and the goal is being that proper witness of Christ. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, you guys will remember Pastor touched on this scripture. How does he say? Repetition, repetition, repetition. Eventually, it's going to sink in. If you want to succeed at anything, you have to prepare. Okay? That's the only way that you're going to have any success in any walk of your life, whether it be your spiritual life or your life within the world. Okay, you have to prepare. There's a saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Okay? So, that, I mean, that speaks for itself. And if you want to, you know, if you just want to get by, you can just get by. The Lord will let you just walk into the kingdom on that day if all you want to do is, you know, get your fire insurance. Okay? But that, he's got so much more planned for you. And to do that, to get what he has planned for you, you've got to prepare. You've got to be ready for that attack, because it's going to come. I mean, every country that has a border knows that one day there could be an attack come from their neighbor. Or in this day and age, a neighbor's neighbor. So knowing all that, you have to prepare for those things. Contingencies. Well, we know that the devil's going to try and come against the children of God. That's his job. He's been preparing for thousands upon thousands of years. He's good at it. We've got to get good at repelling those attacks and quenching those attacks on our character and our witness. Because people are watching. And that's what we've been called to be, as witnesses to Christ. I mean, we, sure, fighting the devil is what we do because he's the enemy of God. But our main objective is to witness the Great Commission. Okay? An army, they train for combat maneuvers. A sports team, they train with their individual needed skills to face their opponent. A scholar studies to bolster their knowledge. And a cook or a chef, they do trial and error on recipes to master that dish. Anyone that doesn't practice or perfect what they do, they quit being that profession. You think that a cook that never tries to perfect a dish is going to remain employed, or they're the chef in business? If a team just shows up on Sunday and never ran any practice drills during the week, how effective are they going to be in that game? How is it said? You play how you practiced. You perform how you prepared. So we can't just get by, okay? Not if we want to be successful in our walk with Christ. And if we're to be the reflection of Christ, we've got to do the things that are needful. One of the benefits of being a Christian is that if we fail, we're not cut from the team. You know? I don't know many pitchers, if they can't get across the plate, they're still employed. But, if we go to try and witness to somebody and we stub our toe and go to mumbling, and God doesn't hold that against us. But you know what? That's a training. You get better. Every time I hold this mic, I hope to get better. Anyway, and keep in mind, when you're witnessing, you don't have to go doing the door knocking thing. That can be effective. That might be for some, but that's not the only witness that we're out there doing. Our daily walk is a witness. And you may not be the one that plants the seed, you might be the one comes back and waters it. There's glory in just being the water and provider of nutrients to that seed. But oh, the glory if you're the one that's blessed with being the harvester. Isn't that awesome? But you think you're going to be a harvester your first time out? Probably not. So practice. what's the hard work for a Christian? And please don't think this is all inclusive. This is just what my feeble mind put down on paper. Okay? Number one, prayer. There's three main types of prayer. Prayer of petition, prayer of penance, and prayer of support. The word is gone from me. When you're praying for others, you guys, I gave you the definition, you figure the word out. Anyway, those are the three main. Now, there's also praise that can be in prayer, but those are the three main things for prayer. And when you're praying to the Lord, and it's not only petition, when you're doing that prayer for others or prayer of praise, you're strengthening your inner man, your spirit man, that's going to be able to help you fight those fiery darts from the devil. When the devil's trying to say, hey, you know what? You need to just go off on that guy that cut you off. You know, next red light, roll down your window. Let him have it. Well, if you haven't been praying and keeping your spirit strong, you might succumb to that. And then that'll lead to that prayer of penance, you know. But, you know, so we first and foremost, we've got to pray, okay? The second thing, Bible meditation, okay? Just reading the Word will not fill the void, the hunger of your soul. Just reading it like you would a novel, I ain't going to get it. It's not written that way. It's not meant to be digested that way. Well, it's meant to be digested, not just skimmed over. Pastor's pointed out so many times when he'll just have a few verses, but boy, can them verses go on. Because he's getting them nuggets in there that we would have skimmed over if we're just reading it. But when you dissect it and digest it, there's meat in there. And you know, when we're babes in Christ, the milk's okay. That's what we need. But as we get stronger in the Lord, we need some meat. You know? 2-year-old still, you know, on Pablum. That, you know, going to be deficient in some things. Child needs meat. I don't care what vegetarians say. But, you know, so, and you know, when you do read the Word, pray that the Spirit will reveal those hidden truths to you. And if you still can't understand what it's meaning, go to someone that might have some insight. Grab somebody that's been around a while, okay? We used to have this little retreat during the summers when I was in the youth group. I guess I was 12 or 13. We went up to Munson, and I think it was Munson. I'm not really sure where it was, but we did a little camp out thing. And Pastor Fred, he was leading a Bible study. There was some kind of big building where we went and sang, and there was fire at night. You know, it was cool. Well, Pastor Fred was talking about Psalms 23. Now, everybody knows about Psalms 23. Even the unchurched know about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I had to stop Pastor Fred, and I said, Brother Fred, I ain't understanding this. The Lord is my shepherd. That's good. I shall not want. Well, if he's good, why don't I want him? You know, see, I didn't understand the true meaning. So it made no sense to me. It's an awesome passage. Right over my head. When he explained to me that because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have any wants. All I want is my shepherd and his desires for me. Anything else doesn't matter. Wow, revelation time, you know? So don't just read it. You know, and God bless you if you can read the Bible in a year. That's awesome. I know people that do that. I don't understand them, but I can't read the word that fast. You know, when I read something, I've got visions of Peter walking down the trail, Paul falling off the horse. I'm seeing all that when I read, and that's just the way I am with anything. So I can't read that fast, unless it's the lineage chapter. I speed right through that. That will either that or I'm going to sleep. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. prayer and reading your Bible and just chewing on that word. Okay. Third thing, I've mentioned it already, witnessing. Okay. And Father, forgive me. That's one of my biggest downfalls in my walk. I don't do a lot of witnessing outside of what I do in my interactions with people. Okay. I don't do a, now when I'm in my sales calls, sometimes the Lord will open that door and I can talk about the Lord there. But most times it's with other Christians. Very seldom is it someone that might be unchurched or unsaved. I'll make the offering to have them come to church with us if they don't have a home church. But a lot of times that's as far as I'll go with out-and-out witnessing, okay? And I've got to work on that. I know one of my shortcomings. I need to train for that. But just showing people the Bible, that's not your only witness. Your witness is when someone expects you to blow up at a situation in the checkout line at the grocery store and you don't, that can be a witness to somebody. What's different about that person? When you are driving and you've got a passenger in a car and somebody cuts you off and you don't bless them out, that can be a witness to that person. So although there's different ways of sharing the good news, you know, I do need to work on that verbal communication of the gospel with people. I know that I do need to do that, but there's other ways. Somebody once said, you know, preach always, sometimes use your words, you know. So there's truth in that. The fourth thing that I come up with is acts of compassion, okay? Preparing, you know, providing for the blessing basket is one thing. Offering somebody a ride that needs it, visiting the sick. These things are acts of compassion that show the love of Christ. These are all the things that I figured just in a nutshell made up what Christians are supposed to do to prepare their hearts to be the witness that Christ wants us to be. Okay. That's basically our mission statement, our marching orders. We're the army of Christ and we need to prepare for battle. Okay. Well, any army that goes in unprotected and without equipment is going to get slaughtered. So what are we going to do to get ready for the attacks of the devil? Let's go to that next slide, brother. That is not Romans 6. That's Ephesians 6. I forgot to change the title. No, you're good. You were right. Go back to that one. I just didn't change that was the last week's verse title. Yeah. Anyway, Ephesians 6. Finally, being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay? That in a nutshell is our mission statement. Okay? Now what are we going to do to prepare for that? Now that next slide. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after all you have done, after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Okay, so when the attacks of the devil are coming, and it's wearing you down, and you're thinking about just, you know, putting in your leave chit so you can go on vacation from this thing, stand up. And if you can't stand on your own, call on your brothers and sisters. That's what we're here for. Okay? The army has that, you know, army of one slogan. Sorry, I got problems with that. One man an army does not make. It takes many to make an army. Okay? And your brothers and sisters, that's what they're there for. When you're feeling weak, you call out to them. Call out to me. Don't answer when I'm in a sales call, but other than that, call me. Anyway, so when you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Guys, that's our armor. That's our protection and our offensive. You know, because like I said, an army that is only defensive will get overrun. Occasionally, you got to go on the offense. But let's look at each one of those. The belt of truth. Truth is light, and light will always dispel the dark. We use God's truth to compare what we're supposed to be with what the world is thinking. Okay? I don't know who said that, but they said that stinking thinking. Okay? We're always bombarded with that, from whether it's TV or newsprint or the internet or just vocal conversation. We're getting their opinion about how we should live our lives. Well, I'm sorry, their opinion doesn't matter when compared to the Word of God. That's the truth of God is our standard. Anything else fails. The breastplate of righteousness. Our righteousness is only bestowed because of God's grace. Our righteousness is filthy rags, but with His grace, we got armor now, okay? And that righteousness can help to keep this heart that is protecting from getting hardened from the worries and cares of the world, from the attacks of the devil. That's our first line of protection against attack. Okay? We have to prepare, or we have to protect our heart, our spirit, from becoming just sick and just wore out. And fighting the fight can wear you out if you let it. That's what that knowledge of Christ's grace can help us get through that. His righteousness helps us deal with the people in our lives that we interact with honesty and with compassion and humility. Okay? Nothing will... I hate the phrase turn off, but nothing will turn off an unchurched individual like somebody that's going around pious and thinking they're better than anyone else. You know, Pastor Fred, I don't know if he coined it, but that's where I heard it the most. You can't turn off something that's already turned on, or can't turn off something that's turned off already that's not switched on. So if that light switch was off, you can't turn it more off, okay? You can only turn it on. And a lot of times that's used for, you know, hey, you're afraid to go witness. You know, don't worry about it. You're not going to turn them any more against God than they already are, okay? But if it was possible to continue to keep them from getting turned on to Christ, that piousness that some will show, they think they're better than others, that will keep somebody that's not, that someone that was ready to receive Christ, that can set them back for years, okay? So we need to deal with the unchurched and each other with honesty, integrity, and purity of heart, okay? the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, okay? To me, that speaks to the Great Commission, okay? We can't just stand here and fight. We got to move. We got to march forward, and marching forward to deliver that gospel. The shield of faith. Faith's an action. You got to raise that shield for it to do any good. If you just keep it sitting by the tree, ain't gonna help you none. You've got to raise that shield, and that shield is what we use to repel those fiery darts. The helmet of salvation is our trust in God's plan of salvation, and that's what gives us our peace of mind. Without the knowledge that he's paid the price. Our works don't get it done. He did it all. And that peace that our salvation is secure is what protects our mind from the fiery darts that the devil will say, you're not good enough. Why would God want you? You know, you're no good. None of us are good. None of us. We stumble and fall every day, even the saved. Again, God's grace is what gets us through. It's like the fuel for our soul. Finally, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Jesus gave us the best example in the desert when he was going through his 30 days of fasting. Satan come in there, throwing all kinds of ideas to, you know, boost up his human flesh. He shot it down with the Word. That's our weapon. We need to use the Word of God in everything we deal with to repel those attacks. That's our offensive maneuver. And guess what, guys? I quit writing after that. So I don't know. I forgot to start my little timer. I don't know how much time I've taken. I hope that we've gotten something out of it. If it's a first time that you've heard this, great, awesome. If it's the 31st time you've heard it, maybe it refreshed something that you know, because sometimes we need to hear things that we forgot about to bolster us up. Just with any army or team, we're only as strong as each individual unit that joins with other individuals. Okay? God didn't call for a church of one person. We have a hierarchy within the church. We've got a pastor, and we've got each person that falls into that church But we all are there to bolster each other and continue the fight against the evil one. Okay? And through God's grace, we'll get there. All right? That's all I got. Thank you, Pastor.